My subject today is where comfort is found. Where do you find real, genuine, lasting comfort and rest? Where is it found? And we're going to turn to the book of Isaiah for our text. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll be reading the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 40 on the subject where comfort is really found. Now, if you have your Bible, open it there to Isaiah 40 and listen to this scripture. The scripture reads, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Now, what that's saying is, speak to the heart. Not just to their heads, to their hearts. And speak to their hearts in a comfortable fashion. And cry unto her. Cry unto my people that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double for all her sins. Now, this is not for everybody. This scripture is not for everybody. It's for those who believe God. It's for those who rest, who have found their rest in the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. This promise and this scripture is written to those who look to the scriptures for their food, for their strength, for their comfort. And if you're a person who believes God, who finds your rest and confidence and hope in Christ Jesus, then you're going to find in this message today great assurance and great comfort if you listen. Now, that's the biggest problem, getting people to listen. Our Lord often said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears, spiritual ears, so you can hear? God-anointed eyes so they could see? A born-again, renewed, regenerated heart so that you can understand? Do you have ears to hear? Then hear. Hear. Now, who's speaking here? Here's some questions. Who's speaking here? Well, it's the Lord, your God. That's clear. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Saith your God. Speak ye to the hearts of my people. Well, to whom does the Lord speak here? Well, he's talking to his prophets. This is Isaiah writing here. The Lord said, Isaiah, comfort my people. Comfort ye my people. The Lord, the scripture says, the Lord spoke to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. But he calls them his prophets, his preachers, his shepherds. And God speaks to the people by his servants, by his true servants. In Ephesians 4, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, he that ascended is the same who descended. In other words, the Messiah who went back to heaven is the Messiah who came. He said, I came from the Father, and I go back to the Father. But he that ascended is the same that descended, and he gave to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists or missionaries, pastors and teachers, that the child of God might be taught and edified. So this, the Lord says to his preachers, to his prophets, to his under-shepherds, he says to them, you comfort my people. I have some things to say to my people, and I'm going to say them through you, through my true prophets. You see, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And all the way through the scriptures, we have men through whom God speaks. And he speaks to his people through his servants, through his true preachers. Well, what's his command? What is commanded here? What is the Lord saying to his prophets and preachers and teachers? He says, comfort my people. Speak ye comfortably to my people. Now, there's a time for rebuke. Nobody likes it, but there's a time for rebuke. There's a time for reproof. There's a time for correction. There's a time for self-examination. I know that. But the command here is to comfort my people. Speak to their hearts that they might have rest, that they might have peace, that they might know the truth, that they might have assurance, that they might have a good hope of eternal life. Speak comfortably to them. And then the next question is this. Well, who are these people to whom the Lord would have us speak comfortably and to the heart and comfort them? Well, he says, they're my people. They're my people. Now, you can't comfort where God has not comforted. And you can't comfort where God has not converted. We cannot cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so the Lord says, you comfort my people. My people. Who are his people? Well, I'll give you several marks of his people. Number one, they're his people by choice. By choice. By divine choice. Christ said to his disciples, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. The Lord chose his people. He chose his bride. Moses wrote of Israel and said, it pleased the Lord to make you his people. You see, Christ calls them my sheep. And he says, the Father gave me these sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I give them eternal life. And he calls his sheep, says, I know my sheep and have known of mine. My Father gave me these sheep. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So they're his by choice. And then the secondly, they're his by purchase. He bought them. He bought them. 1 Peter 1, 19 says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed. That's bought back. You are not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And oh, what a price he paid. He gave himself. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He died for his people. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. You're his people. He chose you and he purchased you. He redeemed you. And then they're his by call, by divine call. Paul said, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestinated, he called. He called. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you out of false religion into his rest. He called you out of your works into his accomplished work. He called you. Whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. Psalm 110, verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Who are these people? They're his people. They're his people by choice. They're his people by purchase. They're his people by call. He called them. He came and found them and called them. Like he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Matthew, follow me. James and John, mending nets with their father, he said, follow me. And they're his by faith. They're his people because they want to be his people. They're willing to be his people. Ephesians 1:13 said, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So they're his people. Now, why do these people need comfort? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Comfort my people. Speak to their hearts. God's speaking. He's speaking to his preachers, his prophets, his servants, his under-shepherds. And he's telling them to comfort his people. They're his people. Now, why do they need comfort? Why do the Lord's people need comfort? Well, three reasons. Number one, they are sons of God. But they're still sons of men. And they're still human. And they still bear the infirmities of the flesh. The pains of the flesh. The sorrows of the flesh. The temptations of the flesh. Paul said, we have this treasure. It's a treasure. It's the knowledge of God. It's a relationship with God. It's eternal life which he's given to us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we know this. We realize it. We're made aware of it constantly. That's the reason Paul tells us to mortify our flesh and to keep it under and to push it down and to crucify it and do all within our power to keep these passions of the flesh from rising up and overcoming us. So they need comfort. They're the sons of God. That's true. But they're still sons of men. And they're still human. And they still bear about in their body the infirmities of the flesh. And then secondly, they are tried people. God's people are tried people. The Lord Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. Trouble in the flesh. Trouble. You folks know what trouble is. You people listening to me who are straightforward and honest and truthful, you children of God, you know what trouble is. Believers have sicknesses. They have family problems. They have heartaches. They have problems with their children. They have personal conflicts and inward distress and depression and pain and tears. And this life is full of pain and tears. And they're tried people. And then not only that, but thirdly, why do they need comfort? Well, they're still human. And they're tried and troubled people. But they're also a persecuted people. They're hated by this world. Even by members of their own household sometimes, and by people with whom they work. They suffer for what they believe. If they stand solidly and truthfully for the gospel of God's redeeming grace and for honesty and for integrity and for righteousness, they're going to be persecuted. So the Lord commands His preachers to comfort His people. They need help. They need comfort. They need it day by day. Need it all the time. They need to be comforted. Now, well, what shall I... I'm one of God's preachers. He called me to preach. I've been preaching the gospel for almost 42 years now. And I'm one of those preachers to whom God's speaking here. And I have a far-reaching ministry. People who listen to me by television, radio, tapes, pulpit. What shall I do to comfort God's people? He tells me to... He says, you comfort my people. You comfort my people. You speak comfortably into the hearts of my people. What am I going to do? How am I going to comfort them? Shall I go to the hospital and rub their heads and go to the home and tell them things will be better? May not get better right now. Well, here's the key word. He said, you comfort my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably. Speak. That's the word. Preach. Teach. Give them the word of God. It is His word that comforts. It is not my words. It's not my feelings or my ideas or theories or philosophies. It's His word that comforts His people. It's His promises that give rest and comfort to His people. He told Peter, you love me? He asked him, do you love me? He told him, said, well, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. What will I feed them? Feed them the word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Preach the word. You see, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Comfort one another with these words. That's what Paul says, writing in the book of Thessalonians. He said, take these words and comfort people. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. David said, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What do you suppose those green pastures are? They're the green pastures of His word. Sheep feed on grass. God's sheep feed on His word. This is the children's bread. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. What is the food and drink of the believer? It's God's word. It's God's word. So He says, comfort my people. Comfort my people. Speak to their hearts and say this to them. This is what you say. This is what you say to comfort them. the war is over. Isn't that what it says? Look at it. Isaiah 40 says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Say unto her, cry unto her, her warfare is accomplished. The war is over. Do any of you remember the end of World War II? Do you remember that? You remember when World War II was over? I remember it very, very distinctly. Seems like yesterday. I was in the service. I was in Okinawa on a ship. I've been there for a long time since the invasion of Okinawa. And the war was over in August of 1945, August 14th, when they announced the war was over. That was a few days before my 20th birthday. And I'd been over there about 2 years. And the enemy's defeated. Came over the radio. The enemy is suing for peace. The enemy is defeated. The war is over. The enemy poses no more threats. There'll be no more air raids. There'll be no more bombs. There'll be no more shooting. There'll be no more bloodshed. There'll be no more dying. Your danger is past. The war is over. Oh, I tell you, we nearly went crazy. We were so happy, peace, comfort, rest, quiet. The next day, everything was so quiet. We turned all the lights on the ship. We didn't have to keep the lights off at night. We made all the noise we wanted to. We sent radio messages. We didn't have to have radio silence anymore. The war is over. The enemy was defeated. It was over. Peace. Not afraid anymore. Not going to die over there. Well, this is what he tells me to tell you, that our spiritual war is over and the enemy is defeated. Who's your enemy? Well, Satan's your enemy. But Satan is defeated. Now, I said this message is not for everybody. It's for God's people. It's for believers. It's for those who know God. And Satan poses no threat to the children of God. None whatsoever. He's defeated. The seed of woman has crushed his head. The prince of this world is judged. He's cast out. He's defeated. He has no power whatsoever in the life of a believer. Not any whatsoever. The enemy is defeated. What's your enemy? Death is your enemy. But death is defeated. There is no death. He that believeth on me, Christ said, shall never die. He'll sleep. He'll depart from this world someday, go to be with Christ, but he's not going to die. Death is defeated. Judgment, there's no judgment. There is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ took our judgment. He took our punishment. He took our condemnation. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There's no judgment. It's over. The war is over. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to tremble. You're not in any danger. There's no threat to your safety. The curse is removed. Christ has been made a curse for us. You say to my people, comfort my people. And you say to her, the war is over. The war is over. The enemy is defeated. There's no threat. You know that woman that was found in adultery in John chapter 8. They brought her to the Lord Jesus and they cast her down at his feet. These men all stood around her. They were lawyers and Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin members and stick legalists and moralists and had their religion and their good works. And they told our Lord, said, Moses condemns her, says, stone her. The law condemns her. What do you say? You don't remember the story. Christ stooped down, wrote in the sand. Then he stood and he said, you that is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he stooped back down and wrote in the sand. And they began to leave from the oldest down to the youngest. And in a moment he stood up and looked around and they were all gone. All the accusers, all the enemies. And he looked down at the woman. There was no one left but him and the woman. And he looked down at her and he said, woman, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? Doth no man condemn thee? She said, no man. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And that's the way it is with you and with me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can condemn? Christ died. And this is our comfort. You say to my people, the war is over. Christ the conqueror has defeated all our enemies. We don't have it in it. Secondly, you say to her, her iniquity is pardoned. Her sins are all pardoned. Now, is this not the heart and core of all our spiritual problems? What is the heart and core of all spiritual problems? All our sorrows. What's the heart of it? Sin. Sin. That's the whole. Your sins have separated you and your God. That's the whole problem. The sting of death is sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that not our problem? Sin. Well, now you say to my people, you say to those who believe, to those who are called and those who have heard the gospel and received it and believe, those who rest in Christ's righteousness and Christ's cleansing blood, you tell them that their sins are all pardoned. All pardon. Now you can't say this to anyone else but his people. But you can say it to them. All their sins are gone. Gone. Why? Because Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. By his righteous knowledge shall my just servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. You say her iniquity is a pardon. How were they pardoned? Christ bore them. He shall bear their iniquities. He bore the sin of many. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. And Spurgeon said this, listen, if Christ bore my sins, I don't bear them. No, I do not bear them. If he bore them, I do not bear them. If he died for them, I shall not die for them. My sins cannot be on him and on me too. It cannot be that he took my sin in his body and died for them and left them on me. That can't be, because a thing cannot be in two places at one time. Our sins are pardoned. What does the Bible say? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says our sins are blotted out. The Bible says our sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. The Scripture says our sins are remembered no more. No more. Now you comfort my people amid their trials and amid their temptations and amid their troubles and amid their conflicts, and with this treasure in earthen vessels, striving for holiness and to be like Christ and to glorify him on this earth. But you say to them, here's their comfort. The war is over. The enemy's been defeated. Their sins are pardoned. I'll never bring them up again. They're put away, they're cleansed, they're pardoned. I'll remember them no more. Now listen. Say to my people, they have received of the Lord's hand double for all their sins. Double. What's our Lord saying here? He's saying there's a full atonement. It's not scarce. It's not barely forgiven. It's abundant. It's a full atonement. He is plenteous in redemption. No matter how great the sin, how great the debt, you've got double for all that you owe. Double. You know, most of us, most of you listening to me, have never had an abundance of anything, have you? We've had enough. We've had enough. I know that. The Lord's met our needs. I have enough. But most of us live from week to week, don't you? I've lived that way for 40 some odd years, week to week, day to day. On what we have, what God supplies. We just don't have an abundance. We've never had an abundance of anything. Just plenty. I remember reading a story about an old Irish lady who had worked and labored and skimped and saved and done without and raised a family. And in her latter years, her son took her to the ocean. She'd never seen the ocean. She'd never stood on a beach and looked at the ocean. And her son came by and got her and drove her to the ocean. And this dear old lady was standing there looking at the ocean for the first time. All her life she had had nothing. Never seen an abundance of anything. And you know what she said when she saw that ocean? She said, "Well, I'm glad to finally see something there's plenty of." Her son said, "Mama, and you're just looking at the top of it. It goes deep, deep, deep." And this is what I'm saying to you. Our Lord's grace and blood and mercy, plenty of it. He's plenteous in redemption. His grace is sufficient. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. You have received of the Lord double for all your sins. They're paid, not only paid in full, they're paid abundantly. Abundantly. It's a full atonement. It's a free salvation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Eternal rest. That's comfort.